We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. I say that just about every day. Hopefully, you have recognized the voice, and we are privileged to bring the Word of God to you. Right now, we're studying the book of Isaiah, and we want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. Just about everybody that I know has had either an electrical need or an air conditioning need this summer. And if that's you, don't just sit there hoping the problem will go away. I can assure you, hoping the problem will go away will not make it go away. Instead, you need somebody who knows what they're doing to come in, deal with the problem, and get you back up to speed so that you have the power that you need and you have the atmospheric control that you need. So Carla and Dennis, Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, they have been involved in the business for a long, long time. And please make sure that you have the right number. If you've got an older unit, you may have an older number, and that would get you to the wrong people. You need this number, 632-9538, 632-9538, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So we are going to get into the Word today. As I prepare to get there, I want to let you know, on tomorrow's broadcast, we have a special guest that is going to be joining me in studio, and we want you to tune in and listen to that broadcast. It's going to be informing you of a workshop that we have coming up August the 27th, and that begins at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and there's going to be a free continental breakfast. If you want to arrive early, you can avail yourself of that. There's also going to be a free lunch provided, and so if you would like to stick around for that. So what we are asking is, if you're interested in coming to this is a workshop. It's put on by Duke Matlock, and it's not the same workshop that he put on last year. This one is about morning matters, investing in your spirit, your success, your health, and creating margin in your life, being intentional about your day, just a lot of practical matters that not only pertain to church people, they pertains to business people as well. And so if you would like to come and invest in your success and in yourself, we want to invite you to this free workshop. And this comes with a double your money back guarantee. It's free. And if you are not pleased at the end of the workshop, you get your money back. Every penny that you didn't pay, you will get back. And so that's how that's going to work. So this is our gift. This is a gift from Merritt Assembly of God to the business people and the saints here in Brevard County. If you go to a different church, you don't go to Merritt Assembly of God, please come. My goal in this is quite simple, and that is for the saints of Brevard County to be the most gifted, the most talented, to do their job with excellence as they can be. And anything that we can do to sow into your life and help your dreams come true, that is what we want to do. So that'll be on tomorrow's broadcast. Be sure and tune in. You will get more information about that. So let's turn to Isaiah, the 28th chapter today. And we're gonna touch on some stuff that will not make me a popular guy, but I didn't get on the radio to be popular. I got on the radio to preach the Word of God. And like I said before, the Word of God stands on its own merit. It is what it is. It doesn't need me to justify it. Doesn't need me to apologize for it. it is the word of God. And so verse number 1 of chapter 28 of Isaiah says this: "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys, to those who are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing, who will bring them down to the earth with his hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, will be trampled underfoot, and the glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valley, like the first fruit before the summer, which an observer sees. He eats it up while it is still in his hand. In that day the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty, to the remnant of his people for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment, for all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean." So we're going to stop the reading there. That's verse number 8. And we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. Then we're going to take a little bit of an interlude, and then we will come back and we will show some of the other issues. Today, what I want to talk to you about is drinking alcoholic beverages. I don't want to present this to you in such a way as a list. I want to present it to you as to what the Word of God says. And the word here, it refers to in the first four verses, to the drunkards of Ephraim. These were the people of God. Ephraim was the name that it was the preeminent tribe of the 10 northern tribes that were known as the nation of Israel. The two southern tribes were Judah and Benjamin. They went by the nation of Judah. That was their title. And so here it describes two issues that were going on, and that was pride and arrogance, and the fact that they were drunkards. They were alcoholics. They were walking around in a stupor all of the time. These were supposed to be the covenant people of God. These were supposed to be the people that when others saw them, they saw the blessing of God. They saw the wisdom of God and the presence of God manifest. And instead, they saw this arrogance that was about them. And in their arrogance, they had succumbed to the controlling nature of alcohol. Now, I want to share with you a little bit about my background where it comes to this issue, because, you know, in fact, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know what a teetotaler was at one time. Somebody told me that they were a teetotaler. I thought that represented a person that was just completely consumed with alcohol. Found out it meant exactly the opposite, that it was a person who is a complete teetotal abstinence person when it comes to alcohol. I want you to know that's where I'm at. I don't care if you call me a teetotaler. It's not going to affect me. You can call me whatever name that you want. I just want you to hear my heart of love today. This last weekend, there were way too many people who were arrested for DUI. I'm not talking about just here in the county. I'm talking about too many people getting arrested for DUI in the United States of America. In doing so, they jeopardized their own life. They jeopardized their family's well-being. They jeopardized their financial future. Some of them jeopardized their career. Some of them jeopardized the health of other people who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You see, the devil will always try and convince you that the sin that he is using to ensnare you doesn't affect anyone but you. And I've had conversations with people, and they would say, if I went to a bar, I could sometimes drink 12 to 14 alcoholic beverages. And if at the end of consuming that, if you asked me if I was drunk, I would tell you no. And they had a long history of being incorrect in determining the state of their sobriety. Now, I want to ask you, how many times do you have to see a temptation destroy someone's life before you say, I don't want that temptation to rule and reign in my life? So here's my background. I have family members who were controlled by alcohol. Not in my immediate family. I'm talking about in my family tree. I have people who were controlled by alcohol. I watched it as it destroyed their health. I was alive when it was controlling their personality, and they were threatening to kill the people that were actually taking care of them and providing for them. In other words, they lost recognition of what was of the love that was being expressed to them, and they threatened to kill the person as a result of that. I have numerous family members who died under the control of that. I have watched ministries that were completely ruined by alcohol, and it is still happening today. And so call me whatever you wish to, but I would like to say that it is wisdom. I would like to say that it is wise to learn from other people's mistakes. And there will be a lot of people who would say, well, I just drink for the social for the social benefit of it. I just don't want to stand out. And I will tell you that nobody started out with that first drink to become an alcoholic. There are way too many teenagers and young 20-year-olds who will find themselves controlled by alcohol, and some of them will have traumatic things that happen to them physically because it controlled them and caused them to lose the sobriety. I didn't want that for my kids. I don't want that for my grandkids. I don't want that for your kids. God doesn't want that for you and for me. There are just way too many casualties. So please, I to quote Paul, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I implore you, do not open the door and give the devil a foothold into your life through alcohol. It's not worth it. You want something to drink other than water? There's all sorts of other options that are out there. You've got all sorts of flavored fruit drinks, and I'm seeing new commercials on television for new fruit blends, and everybody wants to get healthy and all of that. And I just tell you, there are way too many options out there for you to have to go down that road. Now, let me show to you, beginning in verse number 7, what happens here. It says, but they also have erred through wine, and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. Okay? And so when you are under the control of an alcoholic substance, let me tell you what happens. It causes you to have bad judgment. You make errors. Whenever you are not functioning at full capacity, as far as a mental process goes, then it causes you to make errors in judgment. You either judge that something is too far away or you are going slower than you actually are. You make errors in judgment about what people said and how you make errors in responding to what other people do. You make reactionary errors. There are a lot of things that you do. I've seen way too many people that have succumbed to this, and I implore you, don't be a person prone to error. It goes on and it says here in verse number 7 that this problem had reached all the way up to the priest and the prophet. It said, and they have erred through intoxicating drink. Now, when I look at the word intoxicating, I want you to see that, because the root word is toxic. So when you are intoxicated, you are actually poisoning yourself. Who in their right mind would consciously, deliberately, and intentionally poison themselves? And, you know, I can tell you that through the years, I'm a great observer of people. I find people fascinating. I really do. I like watching them to see how they respond in situations. I find their behavior, you know, if I had a different career other than being a pastor, I'd probably want to be like a sociologist that just studies people, because I find them fascinating. How people make decisions, I don't always find them fascinating in a good way. I just am intrigued by people. Okay? And so I can tell you this, I have never met a single person who, being controlled by alcohol, made them a better person. I can give you a long list of people, some famous, some not so famous, whose lives have been tragically altered or prematurely ended because of the toxic element. And far be it from us, as children of the living God, to be in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet allowing the temple of the Holy Spirit to be poisoned by something that the devil wants to use to destroy us. You see, the next time you go down the beer aisle at the grocery store, or you see the selection of wines, or you know, the hard liquor that is out there, you know, there's all of these varied options out there, and they all have different alcoholic content, and they are designed to appeal. Well, if you're going to eat this, you need to drink this. And I will tell you, I've had some really good steaks, and there's not one time that I ever had one of those that said, you know, if I just had something that was intoxicating, that would make this taste even better. I've never had that happen. So people are saying, well, you just don't have a sophisticated palate. Well, I'm okay with my country palate. Thank you very much. I do know this, though. As a pastor, the church doesn't deserve me to get up there and preach to them while I'm intoxicated. They don't need me on Saturday night fellowshipping with an empty bottle instead of fellowshipping with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hearing what God's word has to say. There's something else. And through intoxicating drink are out of the way. Isn't that an interesting phrase? It's talking about the covenant people of God, and they are marginalized. They are set aside. They are pushed to the tangent of society. Instead of being an influence of good, they are just pushed aside as people of no influence. Alcohol will not make you more influential. It will make you less influential. It will destroy lives. Earlier this year, I was at a men's conference, one of the speakers was a very famous athlete whose career had been cut short, whose reputation, whose finances, everything about him had been devastated because of alcohol and drugs. It took a miracle of the living God to get a hold of his heart and of his life and say, you know what? I don't need this anymore. And so I encourage you, do not be controlled by that. It says they are swallowed up by wine. You see, a lot of times we think it's just something that comes in and it goes out and it doesn't have any effect. But I'm here to tell you that its desire is to devour you, to consume you. I have known people who would rather be drunk than be married. I have known people who would rather be consumed by alcohol than they would to eat. And so I don't find it a joking matter. I don't find it anything humorous. I don't find that it is an adult beverage. I find it is an adolescent mindset. If you've got to lean upon that, which will weaken you in order to embolden you, you have serious calculations issues going on. You and I'm here to tell you today, I don't want you saying, well, Pastor Bob said, so I shouldn't do it. I want you to look at God's word and see what it says. It will swallow you. It will destroy you. And it goes on and verse number 7, it continues and it says, they are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. Okay. When alcohol controls you, the vision for your future is altered. And God doesn't want you that. They err in vision. You know, there's people that talk about one of the problems with being impaired is that you begin to have blurred vision. And when that blurred vision takes, things are out of focus. You don't know what is real and what is imagined. Your boundaries begin to deteriorate. And I know that as I'm sharing this today, that there's probably people who have differences of opinions and you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not having that control me. I don't want anything or anyone controlling my life other than Jesus. And I can tell you, you will enjoy greater health benefits without alcohol in your system than you will with it in your system. And so it said they err in vision and they stumble in judgment. And that's tragic. There's all sorts of stories about people doing things while they are drunk that they wouldn't have done had they been sober. They were the ones that made the choice to be controlled by alcohol. And at that point in time, you can't claim that you were innocent. If you knew that you were going to be compromised, your judgment was going to be impaired. You were not going to be able to stand upright because you couldn't determine what upright was. And you chose to consume that anyway. It just, God's word, unfortunately, comes to pass. You make bad decisions. And God doesn't want you making bad decisions. And if all of that wasn't enough, verse number 8 goes on, says, for all tables are full of vomit and filth and no place is clean. Now, doesn't that just sound like the atmosphere that you want to come home to, that you just want to live in? I've been in Brevard County a long time. 23 and a half years have been at Merit Assembly of God. But before that, I was on staff at at another church, and there was a man, and alcohol had control over his life, and he would rather live in a storage shed that he just got permission to stay in. He would rather live in a storage shed with palmetto bugs, passed out, than he would to have a sound diet, have a job, have a home, and saw him one day, and he was just bit up all over the place. And I said, "What happened to you?" And he said, "Oh, the place I passed out last night. I guess I passed out on a bunch of bugs, and they bit me, and they bit him so many times that he didn't even feel it. And yet the next weekend he would go out and he'd make the same decision all over again." God doesn't want you living like that. Somebody once said that the lowest quality of life has the highest price tag. You know, the best I can tell, alcohol is not free either. It's not cheap. It devastates family finances. I remember hearing a testimony one time of a guy who had given his heart to Jesus, and God had completely delivered him from the control of alcohol. And some people who had always known him, and knowing that his family was always poor and there was never any food on the table, he'd get paid on Friday and be broke by Saturday morning. And so they were always in need and always hungry and always dirty and always filthy. And this man finally gave his heart to Jesus. And they saw him a few months later, and his kids were well fed. They had new clothes, and everything was looking great. And somebody went up to him and they said, "What happened to you? Did you get a lot of money or something?" He said, "No, God delivered me from alcohol, and I started giving my finances to take care of my family instead of taking care of the owner of the bar that I used to frequent." My message to you today is quite simple. Don't be controlled by things that the devil wants to use to swallow you up, to destroy you, to cause your errors in judgment and your stumblings and all of that. Don't allow that stronghold to create your reputation. Don't be bound in pride. Don't be too proud. If you're listening today and you are consumed, alcohol's got a hold on you more than you've got a hold on it. If that's you today, I want to pray this prayer with you today. If you need help, give us a call, 321-454-4263. And we will try and do whatever we can to connect you with somebody who can help you get delivered. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would be our Lord and our Savior. God, I pray today that your people would be delivered from every temptation that would cause us to be not sober, that would cause us to be erroneous in judgment. God, deliver us from every evil for your glory. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you without it. Me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.